The next two Lord's days, as far as I know, someone else will. One of the fellows will be taking the service. I know that you will remember them, pray for them, depend upon the Lord as you do when I'm here. And I'm confident the Lord will have something to say to you. If you turn with me again to Psalm 51, and I couldn't get settled on a title. I've thought about it. I couldn't do any better than what I give you. But I want us to look not in a way of exposition as such, of verse 5 and 6. And I'd like to speak to you on the depths and heights in a Christian's life. And you will find that more and more as you walk with your Lord. Would you bow with me as we seek His face. Our Father, we are thankful and so appreciative of grace abounding, and that we, as a child thine, can ascend above this old world, above our own battles and difficulties and trials, straits that we all find ourselves in. And speak to thee. It's almost an overcoming thought that a creature such as I could have the ear of the great Creator. And yet in Christ we do. My Father, we gather asking you to come meet with us, that you might open our hearts and give us understanding. You might open our eyes, give us sight. Unstop deaf ears. And help the children. And Lord, where there is no life in the heart of man, be it these young ones or any here, would you do a work of grace, that which would be unusual in our day, in quickening, making alive. It's almost as in the days of Hezekiah, when he's speaking to the prophet, the children are come to birth and we have not power to bring them forth. We long to see these young ones, not necessarily just young ones, but see these brought to know thee, that thou would again be glorified in your great salvation. Now help in the declaration of thy truth, Lord, in wisdom and by guidance and direction of thy Spirit. Glorify Christ our Lord and edify your children. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I know that I read verse 5 or quoted it to you last week, but look at it again. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. No such thing as a child born innocent. Now, they are in many ways innocent little people. But as far as God, we all fail in Adam. But I'd like to speak to you, the child of God, concerning the depths and the heights in your walk with the Lord. I have absolutely no confidence in anyone that walks on this even plane. They're always the same. No ups, no downs. No matter where you see them, they're just, everything's all right. I have no confidence. That's not brought forth in Scripture. Now, there is no lower or greater height in David's life than is seen in Psalm 51. I don't know but what it may be the greatest depth and the height that any Christian could ever find in Scripture. Isaiah had a similar experience, but Isaiah was not in his condition due to a willful sin. He was just carrying out his duty to God with no great sight of himself or of God, as in Isaiah 6. And there he sees that he had never contemplated God, the Lord, high and lifted up. And any time you begin to see that in his light, we shall see light. The next cry you hear, woe is me. So a Christian's life is filled with mounting peaks, spiritually speaking, and valleys. You'll find out what it is to be downcast, lifeless, yet in prayer by the Spirit of God, one ascends beyond the darkness that is all above us and all around us due to the prince of the power of the air. You get through all that is above you. You get beyond all that is around you to an indescribable height, into the very holy of holies, but you can get farther than that or closer than that, to the very heart of God. That's prayer. That's what prayer is. Your heart communing with the heart of God. Now, dear souls, we've been exposed to a man-produced gospel and positive teaching that has filled the airwaves for the last plus 50 years. And you just can't find many that are very honest when it comes to describing their life. As all this positive evangelism came out in the 70s and 80s, positive praying, positive thinking, all still in print, I'm sure, all out there for you to get, positive living. And that's what they dwell on. Yet these men may be honest, living under some little delusion that the Christian is always supposed to be up, wrong to be down. Some might not deal with it as far as preachers, because they would use the excuse, we don't want to discourage anyone, or we want to keep everyone happy, and we want all folks to think this is just such a glorious, happy life. Now, it is in a lot of aspects, but it carries with it grief and sorrow and being downcast and at times lifeless within. Many, I fear, aren't familiar with it. They don't have a clue. They're in good health. Family's okay. They have plenty to live upon. So they're all right. They don't know anything about being down, defeated, lifeless. God seeming 1,000 miles away, and the walls wherein you begin to utter your speaking to the Lord, it seems to bounce off the walls back to you. That's our life. The message of most of these is God loves you. They don't know the depth of love that I hope you're coming to know of His love. That God wants the best for you, but they're always speaking in temporal terms. God does want the best for you. Or they would say God has a great plan for your life. Everything they say is true. They just don't know what they're saying. God does love that you'll never, to a degree you'll never find out here. God does want the best, but your best may be sometimes sickness. Maybe like Larry said, it may be operations. I mean, he's doing pretty good until God brought him down. And God does these things. Three times, I know of three times in Daniel, the message of God to him was, thou art greatly beloved. And yet that love is what carried him to the lion's den. That love is what produced hatred in all of the Babylonians because he had been promoted above all of them. Here's a Jew above us. And they didn't like that. Now, greatly beloved and the lion's den do go together. Now look with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hold you, keep your place in Psalms. I'm going to come back to verse number 6. And then another one in the Psalms. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And begin reading with verse number 8. We are troubled, greatest apostle that's ever been, on every side. Yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Dealt with that a couple of times. Paul's ambitions in life. But folk, you won't know anything about the life of Jesus manifest in your hearts until you know something about dying. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now look over page or two, 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse number 5. Again, I remind you that this is the great apostle, loved from all eternity, one born out of due time because God had a special purpose for that. And he talks about downcast, dying, later on fear. 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Now, you wouldn't think one that had been to the place he had been would ever be fearful. Or you wouldn't think that when he came that his approach in coming to some of the churches, I was with you in fear, in weakness, and in trembling. You wouldn't think that a man of his stature would know anything about weakness, but it was his weakness and total dependence upon God that made him who he was. It wasn't that he feared man when he wrote that. He came before them in the fear of God, and that emptied Paul of Paul and left him without help other than what he could obtain from the Lord. No rest in our flesh. Trouble everywhere we turn. All around us. Fightings around, without. And yet within there was still this warfare going on. Fear within. Nevertheless, verse number 6, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. He just sent a brother there. And God comforted him through Titus. So the true child of God will face fears. You will face discouragement. You will face fightings all around you and fears with at times filling you. And remember this, that the low points in life are not always due to sin. Troubled, distressed, cast down, and when you get in that condition, look out for Satan. He just like Amalek, he'd get the ones falling behind in their march through the wilderness, the afflicted, the old, and those that couldn't march well. He'd attack them. So when you are down, cast down, not always due to sin, I repeat, trouble, distress, down and out, well, look for the wicked one. He's going to come along and bring a lot of accusations and throw a lot of fiery darts at you. You can't be a child of God. God doesn't have this in His plan for His children. Look where you are. Look what has happened to you. You think that God, that loves to the degree you say He does, can let this happen. You think that God is as powerful as He is, can not override all this. He could, but He knows what's best for you. But the devil is coming along. Satan's just trying to make the pit deeper and fill you with a lot more doubt when you are discouraged and down and out. Now, in Psalm 51, it was due to sin that David was where he was. But let me remind you of some other times when David was low, in great depths, not due to sin. You don't have to turn. In 1 Samuel 27, David was in a great depth. Here it was not due to willful sin, though he had left Israel and joined himself, found a little city over there. But in chapter 26, David told the man that was with him that wanted to kill him, get rid of his enemy, he said, "No, just leave him alone. He'll go down to battle one day and perish, or his day will come, or the Lord will take him out. Leave him alone." And it wasn't long after that, chapter 27, verse 1, that one that was so up said, "I perish one day by the hand of Saul." That's when he moved into the land where Achish was and got away from war. Not sin, just discouragement. He had been running, hiding, and at times just one step ahead of death. He was just tired. He was discouraged. He was away from his family. Evil reports were cast many upon him. Slanders had been leveled against him. And he just got tired. And he just moved down into the land of the Philistines. In Psalm 142, David again was downcast. "I looked on my right hand, and there was no man that would know me." Now, folk, he had 600 men with him, but he had been rejected by the nation that he loved. In his warfare, he had been kept from the house of God, from where he loved to go to meet with the Lord. And he said in that psalm, "Refuge failed me." David, have you lost God's sheltering arms? Have you lost that safety in His pavilion where He keeps you? Yeah, everything's out of sight. No man cared for my soul. David had lost the warming influence of the sun of righteousness shining upon his face. He was in a cave. Darkness, dampness, away from all things. And God silent. Or when Achish sends David back to his own city there in Ziklag, and he gets back, he and his men, and he finds that his family has been taken, the city has been burned. And he said, and David and the people with him sat down and wept till they had no power to weep. But he's going to find himself in a lower depth. After he got through weeping and all the men weeping with him, till they had no power, then the men are going to rise up against him. We got to always blame somebody for our troubles. And they rose up and they spoke about stoning him. That's low. Paul, fear not, God said. God knew his condition. Down in Corinth, God said to him, Paul, be not afraid. Speak, hold not thy peace. Which meant that the apostle was afraid. Joseph. No sin recorded. Yet Joseph, like you and I, was a man of flesh. He was a great man. No sin recorded, yet he found himself in great depths. Not because of sin. His brothers had betrayed him, had sold him as a bond slave. He ended up in prison. And look at Psalm 105 and you'll get a little picture of Joseph. Psalm 105. And verse number 18. Whose feet carried off as a common criminal, slave, in chains, whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron. Until, now we know it was a few years before his word came. Now that word first came to him in that dream when he saw his brother's sheaves bowing down to him. And I wonder often, and I'm sure that it crossed Joseph's mind, being as we, if I hadn't told my dream, I wouldn't be in trouble. And all the time that he was there in prison, the word of the Lord tried him. 2-3 years, 17 years at least since the time of his dream. And then instead of him being over his brothers, doubt. Did I misinterpret the dream? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has God forgotten me? But then there came that time that the word of His word came true. After God was through trying, purging, and preparing him, you don't ascend to any height in the Lord except from a low point. God didn't raise Paul up before he put him in the desert for 3 years. And he didn't raise Joseph up before he spent 13 years and his brothers, when they were there, not knowing that he understood them, they said, well, we're being punished now. We saw the anguish of his soul. Now that was a low, low time in Joseph's life. And he wasn't there because he had sinned against his Lord. God just had a higher place for him to be exalted. Now, you and I, God's not going to raise us up to set us over nations and make us rulers. But he has a higher place for you to be exalted than you have thus attained. That is in Christ. But he's going to raise you in your depths. Why should the Lord say in Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength? If the child of God is always strong, why should the Lord in that verse say about those that wait upon him, they shall mount up with wings as eagles? You got to be in a low place to mount up. And yet God puts his children without, drains them of strength. You find no strength in the natural man. And you'll find yourself in low depths. But just wait. In quietness. In waiting, the Lord said it should be your strength, but he found out Israel wouldn't do that. So he said, you'll mount up, but he's going to put you down. You're going to find depths. Now, children, don't think that when you are raised to some peak, that's where you're going to live. No, within a day or two, you're going to find yourself back in another low depth. But let's look at the height or heights in a Christian's life, in a Christian's walk. David said, why are all of you afraid? Have you forgotten God? Don't you know that that's one man over there and we got a God? Don't you know you're all sitting here cowered down because his voice thunders over there and he dares you and threatens you? Why are you afraid? I'll go over there and take his head off. That's just a young lad. That's one of his heights. But there's one greater. In 1 Samuel 30, the verse that I quoted to you, when they sat down and wept and the men spake of stoning him. Now you put this part in with that. David encouraged himself in the Lord. There David mounted up with wings. When the men were talking about killing him, his wives were gone, his children were gone, his home was burnt, and David had no way of escape from those men wanting to take out their grief on him. And yet David mounted up with wings as an eagle. Joseph, he just served God. Why are you prisoners so sad this morning? He looked after others instead of his own concern. And one day they sent for Joseph to come before Pharaoh. And he shaved. He put on a change of raiment. And he stood there. And Pharaoh said, "Can we find one that has such wisdom? And how is it that the Egyptians, they wouldn't even eat with a Jew, all agreed with Pharaoh to set Joseph over everything?" And Pharaoh put him in the second chariot. And as Joseph rode in that chariot, the cry out before him was, "Bow the knee." Then all the Egyptians, their food ran out and they didn't know what to do, and they all began crying out to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "Go to Joseph. Whatever he tells you, that do." In prison and from prison to the governor of the world, as far as provisions. You brothers, you thought you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to save your life. And you'd think, if you're not reading it carefully, that when Joseph puts them through so much, that he is taking out vengeance upon them. But it's not. He's just getting them prepared to live under his authority with his provisions. And he gives Benjamin 5 times as much, because they were all jealous of him. He wanted to see how their heart was. And then when all the trials were over for his brothers, he said, I am Joseph. Paul raised to an unbelievable height, yet that same apostle often cries out from a low depth. Now, looking or thinking about David in Psalm 51, here's a depth, not like Joseph, not like Paul. Here's a depth that David is in. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." David's at a place he's never been before. Though all the children will grow in grace and knowledge, and their faith will increase, and their outward life will be brought more into conformity to Christ, the more that happens, you always will be mindful of this. You're living and dwelling in a fallen, sinful nature. And the greater the light that you walk in, the greater the sight you have of yourself. Jesus said of the Pharisees, "They outwardly they appear beautiful, but if you could see within, they're just full of dead men's bones." Now in Psalm 51, David's here for his sin. "I was shapen in iniquity. In sin, my mother conceived me." Now, folks, he is not justifying himself. He's just making his confession more thorough. "I didn't just sin these times with murdering Uriah and taking his wife. Not just that. I am in the very core of my being and my very nature, I am a sinner. He's not like a young person. A young person gets in trouble and they always have a reason for doing what they did. Well, my brother or my sister or my classmate or this event, and they get a little bigger and a little older, and then they begin to blame society. And now society is to blame for all that that we see in fallen nature. Well, we've got this. To help them deal with their depression, and this to help them deal with their, the way they were raised, or a bad parent, or a bad, we've got all this. No, David's not blaming his mother. David's not blaming anyone. David's just, he's just getting down honest with God. And his confession is as thorough as can be. Even if the children willfully disobey or are in rebellion, they've got an excuse. But it was in this great depth of David that you'll find the greatest height that he ever ascends. Now David was a giant among men. David was a godly man. The only thing God ever brought up against him was the matter of Uriah and Bathsheba. And it was because of that. But in that, and here, go back to verse number 6 in Psalm 51. And I do hope that I can bring this out as clearly as it is, whether I have the ability to bring it out or not, only the Lord can help. All right, you've got the depth of David. You've seen the depth of Joseph and the depth of Paul. You've seen the height of Joseph. You've seen the height and read about the height of Paul and David in many places. Very high. Great heights in the Lord. Now he's in a great depth, but that's what brings the great height. I think the greatest height recorded in Scripture. Verse number 5. Already quoted, already read verse number 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Now just hold that thought. There have been many miraculous instances of deeds performed by men and women where God gave them faith, enabling them to defeat armies, build an ark when everybody was making jokes about, not be taken from his duty. Abraham and Sarah, past age, but by faith, had a son. Moses, by faith, rejected the inheritance he had as the chief and commander over Egypt one day. He rejected all that to follow God. You've read in Hebrews 11, they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, faced the fiery furnace. Women saw their dead raised to life again. These were performed by men and women that walked with God, holy men and women. But David ascends to a greater height due to the fact that he's in a lower pit than they were when they performed these miracles by faith. David's guilty. David's condemned. He knows that within. That's what makes this the greatest height. And it was in his confession. Verse 6, the last part again. In the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know. In his confession, faith became operative to know that in his plea, there would be application of the blood of Christ. Verse 7. By the hyssop dipped in blood, going back to Moses. Now, folks, he wasn't looking to the blood of bulls or goats, because he later will tell you in this chapter, that's not what my God's looking for. He was looking for that which the blood of bulls and goats symbolized. And that was only in Christ. Faith brought him from the pit of corruption. His view of himself in a totally depraved state and what that would do. Faith lifted him out of that great pit of who he was, what he had done, and he did what he did because of who he was. And faith brought him from that pit to view Calvary. And in verse 6 and 7, he ascended Mount Calvary. And that's where the dying sinner must get. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flow be of sin, the double cure. Number one, from your wrath. Number two, let the water and the blood cleanse. Let it make me pure. Isn't David bold that he would dare approach God in such a condition, in such a low place? No. He knows that's his only source of help. David knew, I can't do anything about the inward condition of my heart, of who I am. I have a corrupt disposition. He knew that no amount of good works could ever cleanse a polluted heart. He knew that there was no penance that he could pay, like Luther trying to appease the wrath of God by torturing his body. And finally coming, no, faith's the only thing that's going to carry me to my God. So the height that he ascends is due to the sense that he had and the knowledge that he had of the nature that he was living in. And it was an unbelievable, unnatural faith, able to see in the blood its sufficiency to cleanse him. Many performed great miracles by God making faith active in their soul. But they weren't in sin. They didn't have such an awareness of their corrupt nature as did David. So I submit David ascended to a higher place because of the depth that he was in. Seeing his natural, inbred corruption, he now knows by experience that only God making faith active in my heart do I have any hope of inward purity. Therefore, I cannot believe that David asked this except he knew God. And you know David is classified as a man after the heart of God. And he knew something of the heart of God. Now, I know that David could ask. He knew his father's heart. And all he had to do was get up out of the hog pen and start home. Faith carried him beyond his guilt. Ever what depth David was in, I'll close with this. Our Lord was in a greater depth. Though he never committed sin, yet he was made sin. And a transfer of our sins to him had its beginning in Gethsemane and its consummation on Calvary. And the lowest point in our Lord's life was when his father turned his back on him and he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And yet in that low, low depth, faith's greatest exercise is seen. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But when he was hanging on that cross, he had only the promise of God. Acts 2:27, Peter quoting some Old Testament prophets. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That's all he had when God turned his back. And faith's not its strongest when you're feeling good and everything's working all right. Faith is the greatest when hope is gone, you are at your lowest, and yet in that low point, you say, I know my God is faithful. I know he hears me, and I make my petitions to him. Shall I stay away or seek cleansing any place other than in the riven side of my Lord? No, dear children. No. And shall my inbred corruption or my sin, my nature following sin, unless God helps, shall I stay away? Oh, I need him more then than ever. Does not the very heart of my Savior say, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, Never has been a sinner yet. There never will be a sinner. Well, my sins are so too great. Well, you sure have limited the blood of Christ and the power of God. I got too much guilt. I need to get rid of some of this before I... No. You're just digging a deeper pit for yourself. You try to work your way out. Just as I am, without one plea, to thee I come. That's your hope, children. You will face depths, but from that depth, or those depths, faith lifts you to an unbelievable height. Cleansing, forgiveness, peace, unbelievable. Communion, love expressed between God and you. Do you express that to your Lord? Do you? I love thee, Lord Jesus. If you don't express, you're not going to have it expressed. Don't stay away, dear soul, no matter your condition. Run to the Lamb of God.